Before we get started, just a little bit of housekeeping. Since the attorneys on the first three cases are the same and the issues, I think, are relatively similar, instead of doing them separately, let's just do them all together. I'll give you 20 minutes per side. If it looks like we need more, I'll be flexible, but I don't expect we will. So I don't know how that adjusts your rebuttal time. I'm not going to be super strict since we're doing this, but so we'll just hear from Mr. Gannon, Mr. Pickard, and then you on rebuttal again. And if the constitutional issue comes up, we'll hear from the Justice Department. If it doesn't, I don't think we need to hear from you. We'll wait to see what he has to say. And then the case involving the solicitor's office at the end, we'll do separately and hear from the person from the solicitor's office. Any questions about that? When you're ready.
I'd like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
So 10 minutes now and then 10 minutes for rebuttal?
I'm sorry, 10 minutes. 10 minutes for rebuttal total.
Okay.
So I understand.
I'm giving you 20 minutes overall instead of 15. So do you want to, I'm not giving you 20 minutes to go now and then extra time.
Okay, I appreciate that. 5 minutes for rebuttal then.
Again, if it looks like we need extra time and there are a lot of questions, I'm not going to be super strict today because of this last-minute change, but in the interest of, you know, moving things along.
Okay. May it please the court. I'd like to start with the 768 patent. The 768 patent is a continuation off of the patents that were at issue in the CQG case and in this court's first decision in February 23rd. Of 2019, I'll be referring to that as IBG1. In that first decision from this court, the court found that those four patents are technological inventions that are not subject to CBM review. The 768?
That's the non-presidential decision, right?
Correct. That's the
Since then, we've had two presidential decisions that treat your kind of family of patents differently.
So that in the second decision, which I'll call IBG2, this court dealt with another continuation patent, a 374 patent. That was a precedential opinion. The 768 patent at issue here is the same as, for purposes of CBM, the first group of patents in IBG1. It's different than the claims at issue in the 374 patent. And so although the first decision is non-precedential, we believe that that decision, in terms of uniformity from this court, in terms of what this court has said about those inventions, is highly relevant, even though not precedential. So in the 768 patent solves the exact same problem that was at issue with the patents in IBG1, and that is a user trading with respect to the GUI. The prices are coming in from the exchange, and the GUI had a problem. The trader had a problem with missing his or her price. That was a technical problem with the prior art displays.
How is that a technical problem as opposed to a problem with how the trader processes information?
It's a technical problem because the problem results from how the figure 2 style screen was constructed. It was a grid format. And information was on the grid, and information on that grid is coming from the exchange. The user has no control over that information, and so the prices are changing in these grids.
And but isn't that true without a grid system like yours, if the trader's getting information from some other way?
Not with respect, it's not with respect to the 768 claims, because the 768 claims are very specifically recited to create a tool, a GUI tool, that solves that problem through the claimed elements of the 768. So, again, the problem in these patents, the problem with the prior art GUI, the price is flipping. The 768 claims solve that problem specifically by providing fixed order entry locations that correspond to price levels and then continue to correspond to those price levels, even if there's a change in the market. So in other words, the way the claim is set up is that if you have a change in the market, this information is coming from the exchange, and if you have changes in the prices, the way the GUI tool is constructed, you will not miss your price because the price corresponds to the graphical location.
But isn't that just exactly what the previous two opinions described as making the trader more efficient and making the trader have better information, which those cases found ineligible, as opposed to, as in InFish, making the computer operate more efficiently?
With respect to the 374 patent in IBG2, which is, again, a continuation patent, the court found that that claim was too broad, that that claim didn't provide any display of price information. And so the court said, how could it be solving the missing the price problem because the claim's too open-ended? Where this claim is not. This claim is very specifically recites the prices are displayed, you have indicators.
Well, sure, but I don't think that's answering my question, which is not whether it's open-ended or not, but whether what you're trying to argue as a technical improvement and patent eligible is a tool that makes the trader more efficient, gives the trader better information, is a better graphical display, which seems to me to fall into the group of cases, not just in the prior two trading tech cases, but a lot of other cases from this court interpreting Allison 101 as just different ways to display and organize data instead of an actual improvement in computer technology.
Your Honor, we believe that that statement, when you have an improved software and that makes the trading system better, that is an improvement in the trading system. Of course, it has benefits to the trader. Just like,
what do you mean when you say trading system?
What I mean by the trading systems, let me be very specific. This claim is directed to the software that creates a new tool, a new graphical user interface that the trader interacts with. The GUI tool, the GUI is the front end of the trading system. Just like in a cockpit, the GUI that the pilot interacts with, that's part of the trading system. And so when you're improving that graphical user interface, and you're making it so that the trader doesn't miss his or her price, you're improving the trading interface.
But that's not improving the functionality of the computer system. It's just improving the operator's ability to effectuate an order.
The trader is provided a benefit in that the trader will get his or her price.
I don't doubt that for a minute. I think you're absolutely right. But I don't know that that really is an improvement on or an adjustment to the actual functionality of the computer system. It just makes it easier for the trader.
It actually, the software that's run on this system doesn't make the trader like faster, doesn't make the trader better. The trader is just the trader.
Well, sure, it makes the trader better because he can more accurately peg his or her price and get the stock or whatever at the price he wants rather than overpaying.
My point is it doesn't change the trader herself.
Does it change the way the computer functions?
It does change the way the software is constructed. It does change how the trading system operates. Yes, it does, because the GUI, the graphical user interface that the trader is interacting with, is improved over the prior graphical user interface. It's no different than Core Wireless, which was a graphical user interface. It was an improvement to the interface. Of course, it had benefits to the user. Same thing with Data Engine, another precedential opinion. Data Engine was a GUI case where it was an improved GUI. It was an improved arrangement with tabs. It improved, of course, it made it better for the user because the user could access these spreadsheets, but the improvement was in the software. It was in the interface.
But it
That's
seems,
what makes it technological.
For wireless, I mean, it seems to me that that falls much more in line with InFish, where it was actually changing the way a database or the way a spreadsheet program works that improved the efficiency of the computer's operation rather than, again, I don't mean to harp on this, improving the efficiency of the trader's decision making.
So the In Data Engine, just to be very clear, in Data Engine, the tabs on the graphical user interface that made it so that the user could access more information, we believe that's very analogous to this situation where you have an improved graphical user interface that causes it so that the trader doesn't miss his or her price. There's no distinction
between the two. But that provided a different functionality and it greatly simplified the ability to move from one page to the next.
So in Data Engine, just to be clear, in Data Engine, that software invention could be run on any computer. It doesn't matter what type of computer. Mm-hmm. It was the front end that made the user be able to interact with the computing system in a better way. I don't see the difference between that and having an improved front interface for trading, where you're making it so that the trader has benefits in speed and accuracy. In other words, when a trader goes to trade, the trader may have a trading strategy, but the invention has nothing to do with that. The invention all has to do with the interface, the improvement to the interface. That problem with the prior art GUI in terms of missing your price, that was found, again, in the IBG 1 case, the four patents at issue in that case. It was found in the CQG case, that was a 101 case, where this court said that the four patents, this improved GUI, is improving computer functionality. This court's already said it in the CQG case. That was a 101 case. And then in IBG 1, this court looked at those findings and said, yes, that's a technical improvement to the GUI. It improves speed and accuracy. So this court has already
You continue to argue these non-precedential opinions, which are probably wrongly decided anyway, but in any event, they're irrelevant.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. I think a decision from this court, multiple decisions from this court, that these patents solve technical problems with technical solutions, that our client and the public should be entitled to rely on those opinions, whether they're precedential or not.
Well, you can rely on opinions until they're overruled by precedential opinion.
Well, Your Honor, again, for uniformity, CQG, technological invention. IBG 1, this court said the same thing. This is not a CBM. These are technological inventions. That's this court saying it twice. And the point with respect to the 768 is that if you look at the claims of the 768, they are no different than, for example, the claims of the 411 patent, which was at issue in IBG 1.
But since then, in two precedential decisions, we ruled a whole bunch of other of your claims to be ineligible under 101. And those precedential decisions are binding on us, and we have to figure out how to distinguish them.
Exactly right, Your Honor. I agree with you. The one patent in what we call IBG 2 that dealt with the 374 patent, that was a continuation, just like all these other patents we're talking about, in CQG and IBG 1, and the court there found that those claims were just way too broad.
It said more than that these are just too broad. I mean, it went in more detail about why they're not technical inventions and why they're just improving trader efficiency and not computer efficiency.
Well, there were three patents at issue in that case. One was a direct continuation of what we're talking about, the patents at issue in CQG and IBG 1. In that case, the court said, okay, does this 374 patent solve the problem of missing your price, which this court already found is a technical problem in IBG 1 and in CQG? And the court said, look, I'm looking at this claim. I don't see any price information displayed. There's no indicators. There's no price information. There's no quantity. And we were asked at the hearing, how can this claim be solving the missing the price problem when you're not displaying anything on the screen?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're a couple minutes away from your rebuttal time. Is there anything else you want to move on to, or do you want to stick with this claim?
Your Honor, I think I would like to, just real briefly, the 055 patent. The 055 patent is a... It's a continuation in part of the patent that we're talking about. So the base patents, again, solve this accuracy problem, speed and accuracy problem, which actually resulted in an additional problem. And that is that the inside market could leave the screen. And so the 055 patent is a very specific solution to that problem to keep the inside market on the screen. So the issue that you had with the first set of patents that we were talking about is the inside market can move relative to the price axis. And the problem was the inside market could leave the screen. And so the 055 patent has a very specific solution to that. It basically says the user can adjust the number of price levels, and then the computer figures out when the inside market gets close to the top or bottom of the screen. It issues an automatic repositioning command to keep the inside market on the screen. And that is solving a problem with prior art GUIs. It clearly meets 101.
I mean, my difficulty with your argument is you keep referring to solving a problem with prior art GUIs as if that makes it patent eligible, but that presupposes those prior art GUIs themselves were patent eligible. And to the extent all they do is organize and display data, they seem to fall really right with our case law, a lot of it, that says that stuff is not patent eligible under Alice.
So here's the difference, Your Honor. As this court said in CQG, the four patents that we're talking about, the four patents in the 768, this court said these inventions are not just organizing data. It's not just putting trading data on a screen.
I mean, can you try to answer one of these questions without referring to one of those non-precedential opinions?
Sure.
Because I think you can suspect that you're not getting a lot of traction by repeatedly referencing those.
The reason why these are improvements is because the claims recite a specific solution to the problems. These are classic problems with GUIs: speed, accuracy. That's why this court found what it said, the reason why the court came down the way it did. The court said, you know, these patents are special. These patents, you have a problem with accuracy, you have a problem with speed. Those are classic technical problems.
Okay.
And that was right.
I think we have your argument. I mean, you're back to arguing those non-precedential cases. Let's hear from the other side. I'll give you the full 5 minutes back on rebuttal. Okay.
Good morning. Byron Picard on behalf of the appellee. May it please the court, I would like to start with the 768 patent. Mr. Gannon mentioned this notion of a problem that was allegedly solved by the 768 patent, so-called mispriced problem. The board has rejected that problem as being solved by the claims of the 768 patent. That is a fact finding. It did it so both in the CVM eligibility issues and in the 101 issues, and we know it's a fact finding because you won't find any discussion of the mispriced problem in the 768 patent. They had to make that theory out with the extrinsic evidence of their expert, Mr. Thomas. If you look at the 768 patent, what it's really focused on, it talks in the background section about the time-consuming nature of electronic trading and how 80% of it is consumed by this last step where the trader reads the prices that are displayed and then enters a trade. And according to the patent, that was time-consuming because the earlier GUIs were not intuitive in terms of the trader appreciating how the prices were displayed. And when they went to trade, they had to do a number of keystrokes. So the 768 solves that, according to the patent, and if you read the briefs, by providing is displaying data along an axis, showing indicators of where the inside market is, and allowing traders to execute orders with a single click. This is not about the misprice. And we know that because the axis in the 768 patent can move at any moment. So that instant that the trader goes to send a trade order, that axis can move and he or she may miss her price. But don't take my word for it. If we look at Mr. Thomas, he described the sort of two key features that you'll see in the blue brief, this relative movement of the indicators and these so-called fixed locations. Here's what their expert, Mr. Thomas, said. This is, forgive me, get the pin site for you. This is at the appendix at 8358. He was discussing the relative movement of the indicators. Quote, "This movement, which provides users with an intuitive feel for the behavior of the market for the product is not present in conventional dynamic screens. That is, this that feature improves the trader. It does not improve the functioning of the computer. He continued elsewhere at 8364 in the appendix to say, also, the relative movement of the indicators along the price axis allowed the trader to intuitively sense market movements. Again, we're improving the trader. And then when he discussed the fixed locations that are at the heart of solving the problem, which the board has projected, he said fixed locations, the user, as a result of them, has more confidence in obtaining the desired price, even if the inside market is changing. That's at 8358. And he said that it results in a less hesitant trader. That was at 8364. All of these features are about improving the trader. This is squarely within the main theme of last month's two precedential decisions, that trading GUIs that improve the trader but don't improve the functioning of the computer are eligible for CBM review and not eligible for patenting. 768 falls squarely within that. Quickly on the 055, that's a continuation part, and I think it's important to have the right context for that patent. The only thing it does is automatically recenter the axis. If we look at the second precedential decision from last month, the 556, it also built on an admitted prior art GUI and substituted profit and loss information for strict price information. The 055 is no different. Instead of showing the user a segment of the axis where the inside market is not displayed, it automatically displays information that the patentee has described as the most important information for the trader. All of this is about improving the trader, providing intuitive understanding of information. We submit that the board's decisions in all three cases ought to be affirmed for those reasons. Unless you have any questions, I'll yield my time. Thank you.
So let me return to the problem with prior art GUIs. With the prior art GUIs, that when the trader thought he or she was getting her intended price.
Judge Lynn asked you before how it improved the computer, and you didn't answer that part of the question. How does it improve the computer?
It improves the computer by improving the graphical user interface. The trader using the prior systems, the prior art GUIs, had a problem the way that GUI was arranged. And here's the problem. When the trader went to go click on a price, the price could change, the rug could get pulled out from under the trader. That was a problem with electronic trading caused by the front end of the trading system. And this court...
But it doesn't do anything to the computer. The computer is there. It's been built with a certain capacity, a certain speed, ability for speed, and it's just a question of how you tell it to do it.
That's right.
And that's not improving the computer.
And in data engine...
The computer has a capacity that when it's reached, then you go to a supercomputer. But this software doesn't do anything to improve the computer.
Well,
it just uses it as it sits there and is ready to be used.
That's true. The invention can be used on conventional computers, but that's missing the invention. The invention is traders had a problem with the interface. They missed their price from the rug being pulled out for them as a result of the prices changing. This particular claim and all of the claims in CQG and IPG1 set forth a specific structure, makeup, and functionality. They have fixed order entry locations corresponding to price levels so that when the market changes, you still get your price. That's an accuracy problem. That's a classic technical problem in these prior art GUIs. This invention solves that problem. Again, this patent, if you compare this patent to the 411 patent, that was found to be technological and not a CBM. If you look at this patent, it's actually narrower than the 411 patent in terms of the language that it uses. The 411 patent talks about speed and accuracy because you have indicators moving relative to the price axis. This patent actually requires fixed order entry locations corresponding to price levels such that when you go to make a trade, if the inside market moves, the price won't flip out from under you. That's solving the problem in the prior art.
It sounds to me like you're arguing that even though the computer itself is going to function the same way, every time you have a newer, different interface that allows the trader to interact with that computer in a different way, that is an improved functionality.
I wouldn't say that, Your Honor. I wouldn't say that every change to a GUI results in an improvement.
But it sounds to me like that's what you're arguing.
No, let me just be very clear. In this particular case, the 768, it's actually solving a specific problem, a speed accuracy problem. So we're not saying that, hey, if you come up with a claim and you just add a conventional GUI to do some type of trading, that would be technological.
I don't mean to interrupt, but when you say it solves the problem, speed, accuracy, et cetera, that it's speed and accuracy of the trader's interaction with the computer, with the computer.
It's actually the speed of the trader, how fast the trader can react.
Not the speed of the computer.
The problem is the way the prior art screens were set up in the grid system with the prices changing, that created the problem. Not how fast the user was. The user could be the fastest trader in the world and click as fast as they could. But the problem is when that data is coming from the exchange, those prices in the cell flip out right before you make a trade. That's a problem with the software that was solved by this invention.
Okay.
There are no other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
The cases will be submitted. We'll take a minute to swap around. Ms. Allen, you might as well stay there in case we have questions for you in the next round.